Hey everybody, it's Katie here. Please enjoy this third installment of The Mank Files, in which Josh talks about the episode The Favorite Son, which is probably an all-time favorite of both mine and Kimberly's. And then stay tuned after for our recap of The Favorite Son to refresh your memory.
Okay, can we talk about The Favorite Son?
The Favorite Son.
Mickey.
Sure. This is, oh, yeah.
Do you remember Mickey?
Well, how can I can't forget.
We were hoping you'd say that.
Can't forget.
We're obsessed with Mickey.
Mickey is one of our all-time favorite Dateline interviews.
One of the great stories is Mickey.
One of the great stories. And your and Mickey's time together was just
Right. Katie even made up a song, Mickey and Mankey being best friends.
I did a song for you guys.
Yeah.
When it was over, this was the great thing. Well, let's go ahead. Let's talk about that. Okay. I'll give you the punchline at the end.
So, first of all, how her way of speaking, how much was cut? Did you guys try to leave as much as you could in?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because...
Oh, yeah. I always try and leave the exchanges as intact as possible. Sometimes if somebody trips over something or if they say something twice, you know,
they'll take it out. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we don't have an unlimited amount of time, but I would much rather you guys hear, you in the audience, hear from the person in an exchange as opposed to me saying, Katie was sitting at the end of the table, she was wearing a gray sweater, there was a microphone in front of her. Much better if that comes out in a discussion.
In a discussion, right.
And so, and that's also, I mean, that's sort of what differentiates Dateline from some documentary in which the correspondent's not part of it. I mean, you want to be the sort of surrogate for the audience and ask the questions that they want to ask. Like, how could you possibly steal from your daughter
to
give something to your son? What in God's name is wrong with you?
No.
I can't.
And her way of speaking was so odd in that you would say, don't steal anything else. And she would say, oh, well, I never did before.
Right.
But I did it. And yep. And I'm not sorry I did it.
That's Mickey. Just
in one sentence, that's Mickey. Reverses her opinion back and forth.
That's Mickey. Yeah, no. Look, when that thing was over, Mickey said to me, I want to thank you for being so nice to me and so gentle. I'm thinking, like, really? I said, I don't get that a lot. She goes, oh, yeah, you're very nice. I thought, all right, well, okay, but clearly I wasn't tough enough on you because... You know, I was like, we actually had that in the story for a little while, and I think it fell out.
It's not. It's definitely not there.
No, that's
hilarious. Yeah, I think it came out for time. But, I mean, the reaction online was uniniform.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Which was...
she's a trip. She's a character.
Like, no one could understand that. I still can't quite understand it. Mickey, all I can say is she is every bit as unapologetic about that as she appeared to be in that interview.
Wow. Yeah,
she just...
I couldn't tell if it was a defense mechanism because she felt so badly
that
she started this whole thing.
I think her feeling is...
Joey needed the ring.
Yeah. And,
Joey needed it.
And I think she saw... I'm presuming everybody saw this episode. I think she saw Joey... I'm not saying this is what I think. I think Mickey saw Joey as this work in progress who was going to become this fabulous guy. Like, he had his life together.
And right.
And he was out of
prison.
Right.
And I mean, you know, like, I mean, moms who make apologies for their kids who have done wrong.
Right.
You know, that's not new. but, you know, Kelly, who, you know, had a tough time too.
Yeah.
She didn't get the benefit of sort of, mom's optimistic outlook on the rest of her life.
And she would say, well, Kelly didn't need it. Right. And that's such a diss to Kelly. What if Kelly gets married? Kelly had a boyfriend.
Right.
Joey needed it.
What if Kelly wanted to sell it and buy
it? It was her ring. She could do what she wanted.
Yeah. But clearly Mickey felt like the ring was never really not hers. Like she'd given it to Kelly. Mm-hmm. Kelly, I think, wore it during her marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got divorced and she also took it off to Mickey. So I think Mickey's thinking was, I gave this ring to her. She used it. It didn't work for her either the way it hadn't worked for me. And I gave it up because I wasn't married to that guy anymore. And then then Kelly also... had a failed marriage.
Right.
She wasn't. So now I can do with it whatever I want, but it's still really mine to decide where it goes.
Right.
I believe in Mickey's defense, that's her thinking, as opposed to what it seemed like was stealing a ring from your daughter, replacing it with a fake ring, which just like I could, my mouth was falling open.
It's so nuts.
And I'm sure everybody watching did.
Oh yeah, no.
And in the process, setting in motion this whole chain of bitterness, yes. which ended up, you know, being wrapped around a murder.
Right. Absolutely.
So when she, you said you try to leave in all the things to make it natural. So when she didn't know what cubic zirconia was called and you had to correct her, Katie goes, they could have cut that out. They left that in on purpose.
What can I say? Yeah. That was the guy. She said, you know, yeah, that's right. She was like, you know, I placed it with the cubic.
Yeah.
What did she try? The other thing that she kept doing is, the way that she was sparring with you seemed like you guys had known each other for quite. Don't you get me started.
Don't you do it. You're going to get me crying.
She thought that you were like trying to. I don't know who in her life has tried to bait her along, but there was.
I think some sort of.
Was she flirting with you?
I don't know.
It seemed a little in that vein.
I think she was. I think that was some sort of defense mechanism of not being attacked. I mean, I think she didn't want to answer too many times the question, how could you do that to your own children?
Right.
Which is the question everybody in the audience wanted to ask. Sure. Right. I think that, you know, the little bit of flirting, I think that that sort of, I mean, I think she was trying to charm me. And I think clearly there's a lot of Mickey that is very charming.
Yeah.
You know?
No, and, absolutely.
And, absolutely.
And I think that's sort of what was going on there, which was, you know, come on, let's not only focus on this one thing I did, because, you know, I love my kids and I love them equally, even though a little bit of effort to make it very clear that I don't love them equally. You know, and then there's Kelly, who, like, you know, has had this miserable time with her mom, and then Joey, who's had this, you know, favored nation status.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
And then the poor other son.
The other guy, like, is sort of the one who sees everything.
I guess
clearly.
I'm not the favorite son.
He and his wife, like, understand what's going on.
They're just like we're out of it.
My family's crazy.
They're like the official biographers of that family.
Was it your idea to call it the favorite son?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And normally, and that's one of the very few episodes in which I had any input on the title. Usually that's the one part of it that we don't write.
Yeah.
Unraveled, had nothing to do with. What are some others that we've just been talking about? The Deadly Detour. Those are usually written by our executive producer, David Corvo, and also by Susan Nall, who's in charge of the Day of Air team and also in charge of all social things at Dateline.
Love it.
They sort of work out. And then Liz Cole, also our executive producer. Okay. The three of them kind of work out titles together. David, I think, sort of has the final word on titles. I sort of get the feeling that most of those titles are David's.
A fan of ours, Heather, just put together a spreadsheet of all of the titles in the past
idea.
5 years. Heather Moss.
This is such a good
and
idea.
So she highlighted,
first?
Well, there's so many secrets. So we need to do a secret series.
Right. Yeah. A lot of secrets.
There's a lot of a house on.
Right. Behind closed doors and in the line of fire. Definitely are leading the line.
I think there's been three obsessions.
Obsession, very big.
So the adjective type words or betrayal, then there's the basic, the murder of, the mystery of, you know, a lot of those.
Right.
And we thought
the night blank vanished.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
Somebody was watching someone's child. Someone saw something. Somebody somewhere.
Someone was watching was one of mine.
I love that one.
Which one was that?
The hot tub and the neighbor was watching. I don't know if it was yours, actually.
Someone was watching, I think was one of mine. I just can't remember which one it was. See, that's the thing, is I don't.
Yeah.
Because people say to me in airports, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what happened in the mystery on Smoky Mountain?
And you're
like, hey, which one was that?
Yeah.
And then they say, that was this person. And then I remember the story.
So do you remember one of the ones we just watched, which is one of my favorites, Mystery on Heath Bar Farm?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think Tom Foley did it?
I don't ever express opinions as to whether or not people are guilty. I do think, as I thought with Sabrina Limon, like I thought the case for acquitting him was in the end significantly stronger than the case for convicting
him. It was.
Him, in part because the investigation just wasn't thorough enough.
Yeah.
I mean, there were all these other cars there.
Right,
other
right.
people saw things. They weren't lying about that.
Katie was convinced they were being paid off by the friends of Tom's.
I had theories. I just had theories. My theories may not have been good, but they were theories.
The thing is, like, if that's true, I mean, if these witnesses that came forward were in fact
paid off
by somebody who's a friend of the defendant, which I have no reason to believe, but I mean, let's say that that's true. A police investigation should be able to figure that out.
Right.
I mean, you can subpoena people's financial records. You can talk to people, and those witnesses should have been found the first time around.
Absolutely.
And they weren't.
It was that one woman came forward the next day after the verdict because she felt guilty.
Right. So, I mean.
Because I think she didn't think he was going to get.
Or she was scared. She was scared until she saw he got convicted.
Oh, and then she had it. Right.
That's a guy who, Tom Foley's a guy who had very good defense attorneys.
Did he?
Yeah. His attorney and his attorney's investigator, very very capable.
I'm still very surprised that he lives in the town. That really surprised me that he didn't leave and he has his son back and everything. You would think it would be a scandal, you know? And
I'm sure he and—
He was a hometown hero, though. He was a basketball star.
I'm sure he and Dara's family are not speaking at all.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. If you had named the episode with Mickey, you had named it. You did decide it was The Favorite Son.
Yes.
If you could do it in the style of a Hardy Boys mystery, what would you have named it?
I mean, the mystery of the purloined ring.
Right. That's what I said. Yeah.
Yeah. My other choice was Diamonds Aren't Forever.
That's good.
Was that really?
Yes.
That would be good.
That's what, you know, we do alternative titles on our podcast, so we rename that.
Yes.
So
hers always had a lot of puns
are forever.
In there.
Yeah, but yeah. I really like the Diamonds Are.
We changed over the years. Before we were doing all crime, most Dateline stories were a play on words with a movie or a song, you know, which is why, I mean, I did a story, the first in the Line of Fire time we used that was, I did a story about whether or not the Secret Service should be compelled to testify about stuff they'd heard Bill Clinton say in the limousine, right? This was back during
right,
during
right,
that.
Right. So
I mean, there were when Colin Powell decided not to run for president in 96, we did a story which was alternately called. We were thinking about strategic withdrawal. And then we ended up calling it a soldier story because that was on Broadway at the time.
Oh, that's so, I mean, nice.
They were all sort of plays on words about common or popular songs, music, movies, books. But then as we went to crime, then it all became, you know, much more hard-edged.
Right.
And so everything's, it's the stuff you've been talking about.
Yeah,
about,
betrayal, you know, diabolical.
Right.
Yeah.
I think we've used a sister's search a couple of times.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice.
Yes. Thank you. We can't thank you enough.
Thank you.
Can we get a Don't Watch Alone?
Don't Watch Alone.
So good. Hi, everyone. This is Kimberly.
And this is Katie.
And you're listening to A Date with Dateline. This episode is called The Favorite Son. It is season 26, episode 11, December 8th, 2017, it aired, hosted by Mr. Mankey. I learned through that podcast, Moms and Murders, that he is used to being called Mank. He said everyone in his family is called Mank at some point in their life. So
oh, really?
I like to add the Mankey just to add it, or Mr. Mank.
Mr. Mank.
Because it adds a little level of dignity to him. This is about the Connell family, the rowdy, reckless Connell family. They're kind of like just hooligans, all of them, it seems like. They're like rebel rousing and fighting constantly. That's what it says when they were growing up. They love each other, but they kind of hate each other, it seems like, at the same time.
Well, I just couldn't get past the fact that it was the Connells and not the O'Connells.
Yeah.
I've never heard of a Connell with no O. It seemed
odd.
Incorrect.
Yeah.
Like they dropped it when they came over from Ireland. It happens.
Yeah, no, I, yeah.
No more O. No O'Shaughnessy. It's just Shaughnessy.
Because Shaughnessy is super American.
I know, but have you ever met a Mikey Shaughnessy? No, it's Mikey O'Shaughnessy.
Yeah.
Billy O'Shaughnessy.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
This takes place in
Wilmington.
There's three kids in this family, and the parents get divorced when they are older. John, Kelly, and Joey. Joey was the life of the party. His brother says he was loud and obnoxious. And this killed me because we always say we don't want to be described as lighting up a room or making everyone smile. You know what I'm saying? But to actually hear the brother say loud and obnoxious, I might have to rethink it. We have a lot of listeners who write us and say, make sure they say I'm snarky, I'm kind of bitchy, I'm really funny, I'm not sweet, say I'm sassy, you know? And
yeah.
But when you actually hear it, and then when Mank has to remind the brother and go, but in a good way, right?
Right.
And the brother is like, oh, yeah, sure, yeah, in a good way.
They did. They totally had to qualify it at the end. They're like, you know, where you go to a party and he's the guy in the room that everyone's surrounding. I mean, they made him seem like, I don't know, frat boy?
Yeah, definitely.
Kind of?
So,
a frat boy with an attention problem? Wants
maybe,
attention?
Yes.
Okay.
But I just couldn't tell if John, the brother, liked him or not.
I couldn't either. He sounded like classic middle child. He sounded like Jan Brady. Could have been.
So to the mom. Okay. Let's just jump into the mom. And I have a feeling that we actually might agree on the mom. I was all riled up to defend my position on the mom. But you went through Twitter this time. And I had a feeling that I was going to be doing my, everyone on Twitter agrees with me. Everyone on Twitter thinks those sisters from last week were crying too much. And you didn't believe me. And everyone on Twitter agreed with me about the mom.
But I mean, what about the mom?
Well, first of all, she just seems kind of crazy.
That's it. Just period. The mom is off.
There's something off with her. I can't tell if she's on drugs or drunk or if that's just her personality.
I don't think it's drinking. It seems to me that she's probably on a series of medicines. That she has a pill box that has every day several things.
I do too.
I don't know if they, I know, but I don't know if hers go together. I think some of her things are counteracting each other. This is the result, which makes you not blink. Be pretty confrontational with your Dateline host.
Right?
When you're not, when you, there's no need to be.
But she's being confrontational in a way that she thinks is kind of flirty, it seems like.
In points, yes.
Because she's in like, points, don't you do that to me, Josh.
And then at other points, Josh, she seems a little offended.
That? Yes.
Let's just say Josh made his money this episode. He had to work overtime with Mickey, right? Mom.
Yes.
The mom is Mickey. It's Mickey.
Josh Mankey is a professional. And if you've ever doubted it, which I don't know why you would, because he
watch
always
this
is,
episode.
But watch this episode. Because anyone else would have.
I want the cut footage of this one. Yes. I want to see what was left on the editing floor.
Yes.
Because I think
this was the best. This was the best stuff they had to use.
I think that Mankey may have had to lead Mickey at certain points and say, okay, we're going to retape that. You might not want to say this.
He was giving her acting notes, line readings.
I think he was. I think he was trying to help her out because there's a couple points where you see him almost leaning forward in his chair trying to get her to like get on the
Give
train,
an appropriate
lady.
Reaction to what they are talking about. But her reactions are so the opposite of what they're speaking about.
It was really entertaining to watch, though.
I'm obsessed. Could watch a whole movie with her.
I was like, bring Mickey back.
Yes.
I want Mickey's opinion on last week's episode.
Could she show up in the corner screen, like a little box that shows up in the corner and it's her opinion on the episodes?
And she's like, oh, well, Adam did it. It was Adam. I want her first initial reaction of who did it last week.
Yes.
Yeah, who killed Mary.
Yes.
Mickey, go.
Go.
Who was it?
And she'd be like, well, that Katie.
You know what they say about girls with horses. And then
and then
just
nothing
silence.
Else. And you'd be like.
Just silence.
What just do staring. They say about girls with horses? She'd be like.
I didn't say it. You said it. Just, I can't. It was just, that kind of logic.
It was. Did it and I don't regret it. What are you saying? Are you from another planet?
No, this episode is worth it, everyone, just for Mickey.
Just for Mickey. God bless
and
Mickey.
And we will be speaking of Mickey again in future episodes because she is larger than life.
Yes. So she is beyond obsessed with Joey, her youngest son. He is her favorite, and Manx is pushing her to admit it, and he has a full-on twinkle in his eye, and he's like, you can say it. He's your favorite. You can say that. And she goes, I don't want to say that. And then she goes, don't get me started. Don't you get me started. Like she's going to cry. Then defiantly, so defiantly, she goes, well, so what? So what?
Okay, I think that maybe you should play Mickey in the Lifetime movie. You did that. That was good. That was method. I'm impressed.
I had to rewind several times because I just couldn't figure her out. She's just an odd bird. She's kooky.
She's a kook. This was one episode when they showed a lot of photos from like the 70s and the 80s, them growing up.
Yeah.
And then I loved seeing pictures of her because she is just that mom. She's really pretty.
Very.
In the other photos, like a beautiful woman, like, sort of like with a she cigarette, looks good now. I think, in some. No, she looks great now.
Okay. So Joey is the youngest son. And he meets this girl, Olga, from Russia, which I got very nervous about. They met online, and I immediately went to George and Anfisa from 90 Day Fiancé. I got real scared. But Olga seems like a nice person.
I'm really glad that you were scared because of that and not scared because she's a Russian and because our politics are insane right now.
I did not even think of Vladimir Putin. I immediately thought of Anfisa. How sad is that?
But I wrote Russian mail order bride. I think it's everyone's go-to when you hear that he married a Russian girl from Siberia who he met on the internet. It's like a wink, you know.
But she seemed nice.
I don't think that's the case.
I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think what Lauren and Alexi from 90 Day Fiancé would say is that it's George and Anfisa that are giving people like Joey and Olga a bad name.
True.
Maybe they had a totally legitimate love affair.
I buy it.
Okay. The mom is doing this, answering her questions in a strange way. So this is where we get to kind of the crux of what some of the episode revolves around, which is this ring. And again, she answers these questions in not the normal way. So Mankey says, tell me about this ring. And her response is, oh, I did something and I'm not sorry I did it. Okay. That's her response to tell me about this ring, is going on this diatribe about how you did something and you're not sorry you did it. Okay, deal with it.
Again, he has to ask her leading questions because he wants you to tell the story, Mickey.
Right. Have you never done it? She's obviously never done an interview before.
Oh, no, she's done an interview. She's done an interview with local TV, and I'm sure she told Mank all about it and probably showed him the footage.
And he's like, oh, I see.
This is 1989.
You don't answer questions correctly.
I was at the mall.
Oh, you think she was interviewed by local news about,
Cabbage Patch. Yeah, something. Something big at the time.
The new wing of the mall opening up, what civilians thought of it. And right, she was exactly. Like, there's going to be a JCPenney. I'm excited.
Right. I can't.
Okay. So...
I don't have to drive to Annapolis anymore. Sorry, what's a town in Delaware?
I don't know.
Dover. Dover. Isn't that the capital?
Sure. All right,
there we go.
So the mom, Mickey, had gotten this ring from her first husband, the father of her kids. They are now divorced. And she had given it to the daughter, Kelly, to wear whenever she got married. She kind of seemed weird to me because it was a ring from a divorce. Did that seem weird to you?
No, because it is technically Kelly's his daughter.
Yeah.
So it's a ring from her father.
That's true. But
it's not just from her mother. It's from her parents, and she's the only girl. Kelly's the only girl. So Kelly got the ring. No, it seems normal.
I thought you gave him to a son so that when he proposed, he gets to give it to the girl.
But maybe she didn't do that because she had two sons, because she had John and Joe.
But she made no bones that Joey was her favorite. John was expecting nothing from her.
Why didn't she just keep the ring?
Exactly.
Okay, well, we'll get there. Okay.
So then Joey wants to marry Olga, but Kelly has the ring. So the mom lies to Kelly and says she wants to borrow the ring so she can wear it on vacation with her new husband, and then goes and breaks into Kelly's house and takes the ring and gives it to Joey. She literally steals the ring back from her daughter. And then they're scared that Kelly will get mad, as one would, because that's not normal behavior. So Joey and the mom swap out the ring for, as mom says, what's it called? And then poor Mankey has to say cubic zirconia.
And notice the Dateline left that in.
Yes.
There would have been a really easy edit right there to just have Mank say, so they swapped it for cubic zirconia.
Yeah, but they left in her not knowing what it's called and going, what's it called? Poor Mankey, who is so sophisticated and would never buy cubic zirconia, has to utter those words, cubic zirconia.
But also, it's worse than that. They didn't just buy a ring that looked like it. They took out the diamonds and replaced the diamonds in the actual setting of the ring with cubic zirconia.
Yes, and then he reset those diamonds into a new ring for Olga.
Okay, yeah, that's...
The whole thing is just...
The level of shade is...
It's so weird. And then Mickey starts laughing like this was a hysterical prank that they played on the daughter. And I think it's just a sociopathic thing to do. It's insane to me to give a ring to your daughter and then to steal it back so you can give it to your favorite child and then swap out diamonds and then sneak it back into her house or give it back to her, whatever. But she's going to find out. And then Mankey says, how could you do that to Kelly? And Mickey says, because I know she didn't need it.
Okay.
Wow. This is like on Friends when Monica finally gets engaged to Chandler and she goes to her parents and she's like, let's pull out the Monica wedding fund. And they were like, we didn't think you were ever going to get married. So we spent it on a spa or something. And she's devastated because they just thought she was going to die alone. Now, to hear the mom saying, because I know she didn't need it. That's
harsh. It's literally like her next sentence was going to be, she's not pretty enough.
Exactly. But she had a boyfriend.
She's not pretty enough to land a man.
She had a boyfriend. I want to know more about the boyfriend.
Who, Kelly or the mom?
Kelly's.
I would like to know more about Mickey's new husband.
Yeah.
And why we didn't get an interview with him. What's his story?
He's clearly sick of sitting next to Mickey and having to apologize for her odd outbursts every 5 seconds and go, she's not normally like this.
Oh, she didn't let him in the room. She was like, there's no space for you here. There's only one chair.
I'm the star of this. This is about me. This Dateline is about me. So Kelly, of course, finds out somehow that the ring has been totally swapped, then dismantled, and then put back together with inferior parts. So she is pissed. Manx says she felt betrayed. And Mickey shrugs her shoulders. No joke, fully does this exaggerated shrug of her shoulders when she hears that her daughter felt betrayed by her. And she says, well, Joey needed it. I mean, if you're not agog at that, listeners, reevaluate. Yeah. I was agog.
Yeah. Yes.
She's so flippant. Joey needed it. I did what I had to do, and I don't regret it. What is wrong with her? Is she in love with Joey? What is this hold that Joey has on her? Okay, so we're literally only 6 minutes into the episode, and I kind of wish the mom was the one that was in jail now, because she's fully a criminal and a terrible mother to Kelly. So Joey and Kelly get into a huge fight over the ring, but the mom is the one I think they should both be pissed at. So then someone breaks into Olga and Joey's house and steals a bunch of Olga's jewelry. Not the ring, she was wearing the ring, but they took these heirlooms from her mother. So Joey calls the police and says, my sister Kelly broke into my house, I think, and stole all this stuff. So the police start investigating Kelly and her boyfriend, who the mom obviously doesn't think is going to propose because he would have left her with the ring.
My goodness.
Okay, so it's the first year of Olga and Joey's marriage. It's 2013, and they both are shot dead outside their place. There were two killers that were waiting for Olga and Joey to come home. John, the older brother, says that Joey had told him, if anything ever happens to me, our sister Kelly did it. Do you think that's a good bingo card, or do you think that's too specific? Like, what, Kelly if, did if it? Something happens to me. Well, that's true, too.
Just Kelly?
Just Kelly. Just, is there a Kelly? Do you think, you know, like, if something happens to me, so-and-so did it. That happens fairly regularly.
What is that called? It's not called a premonition. So what's that called? It,
foreshadowing or something.
Foreshadow. Okay, that's good.
Something like
warning.
That. A warning. I like that. So the police bring in Kelly after the murder and they interview her about the ring drama. And this was weird to me. I think she got a little bit of the behavioral issues from her mother because she's describing the ring to the police and she starts laughing. I can't describe it. Let me draw you a picture of it. Ha ha ha. About the ring. And like your
Oh, and
your
it is brother, like hours your, after her brother has died.
Your brother was yeah. slaughtered. 25 bullets killed your brother and your sister-in-law, whom you had been fighting with, and you're like right. giggling that you should draw a picture of this ring. The ring was $20,000, by the way. So, is that a lot for a ring?
Yeah.
I don't know anything
Think about,
about
the stuff you can buy for $20,000.
A lot.
You're walking around with $20,000 on your hand?
That's
I don't
true.
Know, maybe a lot of it our doesn't listeners seem have like, expensive jewelry.
It doesn't seem worth killing over, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if
bling.
It, yeah, I guess. I think Kelly was more just betrayed by the mom. That so, but she does say the stuff to the police, how pissed she was to the brother. Yeah. She says that he was pure evil to her after he took the ring and that Olga and Joey were complete and utter idiots. Not the smartest things to say about people who were just murdered.
Right.
It doesn't make you look that good. I was thinking Kelly did something. And Joey had been getting restraining orders against Kelly because she had been harassing them, apparently.
No, he'd been trying to. It didn't trying even go through, to. Right?
Now, this is when we get our interview with Kelly, and you can't tell if she's in jail or not because the background, maybe it's shadows from windows or bars. You don't know. It's all blurry.
No, I have Kelly is in prison? Question mark.
It's yeah. a room that could be prison. Which I think we need to revisit my idea of the floating heads on the black background.
If we're going to revisit that, then we can revisit my idea of everyone in a black turtleneck.
Like Steve Jobs?
Like Steve Jobs and in silhouette, like the actor's studio. It's very dramatic. I don't know why you,
What's
yours
the
is
background,
more sci-fi
What's
and
the
mine's
background?
More drama. Nothing. There's just a light. It's just black.
Oh, I see. I see, like on an empty stage.
Right. So you have hands? So they can speak with their hands.
Express.
Here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they can express. And then you sort of see a side. Well, Kelly was actually doing it because she was only showing us half her face.
Yeah, she did kind of clearly... do that.
Did she have something going? I think maybe she had.
A pimple?
Honestly, I was like, yeah, that was my first thought. I was like, she's got something going on that side of her face because she's really trying to hide that side of her face.
That's funny. I
noticed
that too.
Or she really thinks she has a good side,
yes,
like I
that
do.
That is it.
And so every picture I take, I'm only to one side.
Yes.
She could be doing that. I also thought I'd probably do that if I was in a Dateline interview, make sure that my face was like this. Face always goes to the left.
It looks yeah. so awkward, you doing that right now. Is it, why are you not talking to me? Why are you turning your head and looking out of the side of your eye? That's just Hi. Weird. Doesn't work, but I noticed that Kelly was doing it.
Doesn't work if I wink.
No, don't like wink that. At me.
Okay, right, sorry.
It did look weird that Kelly. I did notice she kept looking to one side. Going along with my idea of the floating head is I wrote it again on Twitter because people were playing the, you know, are they in prison game, and people mm-hmm. were analyzing the background. Is Kelly mm-hmm. in prison? And I said, well, I think the floating heads. And someone said, but you can't have Mank be a floating head because of his tie. Hanky combo. And then I said, I got the idea. No, we put Mank in front of a green screen and he could be in a field of daisies or he could be in a scummy New York street, like a dark yeah. alleyway.
So he'd never have to go on location again, technically.
Yes, correct. Okay. You could put him anywhere.
What if Mank was just a cardboard cut out of Mank, but then they did that thing where the lips move and yeah. only the lips move?
Oh, yeah, like Conan used to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could work.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it. But then we wouldn't get the eyebrow raises. You'd need the eyebrow to move too, because he does the smirk and the eyebrow raise.
And so much in this episode.
Oh, it's my intense. God. Because he was talking to Mickey.
Yeah, it's off the charts. Okay.
Yeah. I thought they were going to come right off his face. So Kelly says she was at home at the time of the murder. Now, John, the brother, says that the whole family was really suspicious because of the feud and maybe thought that Kelly had something to do with it. He says even the mom, Mickey, thought that the daughter, Kelly, had something to do with it. So now we jump into the secrets of Joey and Olga's lives. Everyone on Dateline has a secret life. The friend of theirs that's interviewed says they were good people. But then the police interview Joey's business partner, Chris Rivers. And when they ask him about Joey, he doesn't know Joey's dead. And he says, what did he do now? And the police are like, oh boy. So Chris Rivers tells the police some less flattering stuff that Mankey says we'll get to later. He says, we'll get to that later.
I completely caught it.
And he's like, stay tuned.
And I was a little bit annoyed.
I was like, you better.
He never does that, right?
No.
I've never heard.
Because it's kind of breaking the fourth wall a little.
It is a little bit. We'll get to that in a minute. Talking to us. What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they do get to it later, though. The business partner, Chris Rivers, says that Olga was married before and she had fought with her former in-laws about all of this family heirloom jewelry. Again, with the jewelry that she had gotten from this family. And then Chris Rivers, the business partner, mentions the Russian mafia because she was from Russia and they had all these Russian friends. So the police start delving into all this stuff. They find out that Joey had a crazy wild past before he had met Olga. He had been arrested and was in jail for 7 years because he had pulled a gun during this fight and he had resisted arrest. He was stubborn and wouldn't take the deal and wanted to go to court and he got 7 years.
That's ridiculous.
And Josh asked the mom about it. Like, how did you feel when Joey went to jail? And she does that thing again and she's like, don't you ask me about that. You're going to make me upset. Don't you do it. But I can't tell if she's flirting with him. She does this pointing thing at him like, I know what you're doing.
It is. You, sir.
Don't do that.
It is. Tell. It's a little bit like that. I thought it. Yeah. I didn't think she was angry. She seems more like flirtatiously antagonistic.
Sassy? Uh-huh. Yes, flirtatiously antagonistic.
That's what she seems
so
like.
So Joey was super popular in prison. He made a ton of friends, including these guys in this biker gang. He also worked out a ton and he was huge, jacked when he got out.
Wait, what's the biker game called by them?
It's like
Pagans. The Pagans. Yeah.
Right. The Pagan biker gang. He worked out a ton and he was huge when he got out. And he wanted to maintain the muscles, but he started working right away, so he didn't have as much time to work out. So naturally, he turned to steroids, which is so funny because his brother John had literally just told us that after he got out of jail, he was super straight and narrow because he didn't want to get in trouble again. And then you cut to everyone else. And they're like, he was shooting up every day steroids to stay huge. So he got roid rage. He was definitely would get mood swings and angry. Mm-hmm. So now they have the funeral for Olga and Joey. Kelly says the mom would not even speak to her at the funeral. And Mankey presses her on that, and she's like, I was upset. I wasn't talking to anybody.
I'm not talking to people if I'm crying.
She's so angry at that.
But she didn't,
daughter.
It's like she didn't understand the question. She's like, well, if I'm crying, I'm not talking to people. Well,
then I think he thought that, or she thought he meant you didn't speak. Like, say a few words.
No, he did say
that. Yeah, but at first, I think he was saying you didn't speak to Kelly.
Because then he's like, you didn't give a eulogy. He sort of clarifies himself.
Yes.
You didn't give a eulogy or speak
right.
at Joey's funeral.
Right. But according to Kelly, she was not speaking to anyone, including her own daughter, which is weird.
Which is weird, but it's weirder that then Mickey goes on to describe the man who did get up and sing Danny Boy. Which we didn't need to know.
Because we're Irish, you know.
She did say that.
And then there were guys who told these funny stories and about Joey and just, she's just so happy to talk about Joey. It's like, it's like he's still there. I think she's in denial because
we'll get to that.
So happy.
In the words of Josh Mankiewicz.
Yeah. So Chris Rivers, the business partner, tells the police that the steroid selling is probably what Joey got himself killed over. The police don't buy it. They don't buy that. They don't buy the Russian mob angle. They look into the biker gang angle. That doesn't pan out. Then there's this other guy named Harry that was involved in the business, and he's totally a red herring and doesn't pan out either. Then the business partner, Chris Rivers, does this interview, and I couldn't tell what it was for. Was it for local news?
I couldn't figure it out. It looked like he was in a room with police, like, but
it
then
did kind of look like that.
But how did the family see it? Because the family saw it.
I thought it was like a YouTube video. It was very strange.
I think it was a special interview, but the police showed it to the family because the family does eventually see this interview.
Yeah, they do. But I kind of thought it was public. I don't know.
But it's like beautifully shot. It's not CCTV footage. It's like there's a camera sitting in the room.
Yeah, that's why it seemed more like an interview, like he was doing with the reporter.
I'm sorry, beautiful is a big word. It's not beautiful.
Yeah, it wasn't. I wouldn't say beautiful. It was a room, a tan room.
It was
like
mildly
beige
clear.
Walls.
Yes. And you could see what he looked like clearly.
It was fairly in focus.
Yes.
So his lawyer is with him in this interview. What's weird about the interview is he's saying on and on what a good guy Joey was and that no one could ever be angry with him and that they were best friends. And he has spent the last few months telling everyone what a train wreck Joey was and how pissed he was at Joey because Joey was stealing from the shop and selling steroids out of the shop, was a total troublemaker. I mean, when the police asked him about him, he said, what did he do now? But now on this video, he's saying, we were best friends. No one could ever be angry with him about anything. So the interesting thing also about the interview with Chris Rivers is that the details of the night before the murder have changed. First, he said he almost went to this party that Joey was having, but he got turned away at the door. And then now he's saying that he just went straight home. And then his lawyer interrupts him and says, no, you stopped at McDonald's. So it's very strange that the stories keep changing.
It's not a good lawyer.
But he now is lawyered up and he won't talk to the cops, so they can't interview him anymore. He had really been bashing Joey, though. They heard it from everyone that Joey was fully stealing money from the company per Chris. This shop worker that we're interviewing with the white shirt, who was bouncing around like he was on a roller coaster.
Billy boy.
What was his deal? He could not sit still. No, he had beans in his pants.
He's got, you know, he's the kid. Teenage scruffle. I don't know. Billy was, he's a good boy.
He needed to sit on an activity yoga ball in class to get him to center, get out his wiggles. So that's what they do in class now. So he seems sweet. He said that there were a couple times that Chris told him, we can't pay you this month because Joey spent all the money in the account. Really bad stuff about Joey. And the police investigate. It turns out the shop was losing a ton of money, but they find out it wasn't Joey that was stealing the money. It seems that Chris was taking money to pay for his drug habit.
Bum, bum, bum.
Chris is addicted to prescription drugs and cocaine.
Well, and you can tell that the minute, I mean, I knew the minute you see that second interview, I was like, well,
did you?
He's on drugs.
He's on drugs.
His eyes, I mean, he looks like he's wearing pink eyeshadow. You couldn't tell. And then he's sort of doing it's not natural movements. Like Billy,
well,
the kid.
Well, I was concerned about Billy, the kid.
Billy, the kid is sort of shifty because he's young and he's on Dateline and he's probably nervous and he's wearing his best white polo. I don't know. But, you know, Chris was
jumpies.
Doing that like weird,
yeah.
Where
twitchy.
Yeah, that twitchy thing.
Yeah. Chris provides camera footage from the inside of his house the night of the murder. I don't know why he has cameras inside his house. They never really address that.
Because he's on drug, really paranoid. So he's, and he has a big drug habit.
So it shows that he was at home the night of the murder, but he's pacing and he's on the phone a lot. So they go through his phone and it shows that certain phone calls have been deleted. But of course, the forensic people can find these. Again, use a burner phone.
Idiots.
And both people use a burner phone. Buy our two packs that are coming to the market soon.
Yep.
So the calls were to Josh Bay, who's a customer at the auto shop that Chris and Joey work at. Josh is a felon and is Chris's drug dealer. But Josh has an alibi. And where is Josh's alibi?
Were you not still? I have it in all caps.
3 exclamation points. Josh has an alibi on camera. He was working that night at Kohl's.
Working the night shift at Kohl's.
At Kohl's. Yeah. So Josh.
I have only been to a Kohl's once in my life.
I have never been to a Kohl's.
Should we go? You might be getting a Kohl's gift card for Hanukkah.
Okay, so Josh has this alibi, but he was talking all night to Chris, but also to this other criminal, and this other criminal was talking to this other criminal. These two criminals are named Benson and Thompson, like their partners on Law & Order SVU.
I couldn't believe it.
I was so pumped. Benson and Thompson hitting the scene. The police tell the family that Chris, the business partner, was probably behind the whole thing. And this is when the mom gets again kooky and she calls him a liar and a conniver. And people on Twitter were not so happy because they're still mad about the ring. And they were saying, you know, look in the mirror, hun.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Conniver?
I didn't know if it was a real word.
It's not a real word.
I Googled it.
Is it a real word? Because conniving is a description.
It showed up as a noun in one of the dictionaries online. I thought it wasn't a word. I fully looked it up.
Dang it. I don't know.
It was like freedictionary.com.
I also don't know if Dateline editors thought it was a word. I think they may have thought it wasn't a word and they left it in on purpose. There's some little Easter eggs in this episode. They're doing some stuff for us.
Let us know if it's officially a word. Like, does Webster say it's a word? Because freedictionary.com says it's a word, but we don't know what that means.
Freedictionary.com sounds like a fraud.
I don't know what that means.
That's like you and me making a dictionary.
Yeah, it is. It's like Wikipedia. I think anyone can just do an entry. It did show up on Urban Dictionary, too.
Oh, it's not a real word. There's no way.
So police don't think they have enough to arrest Chris. So it's like levels. So there's Chris at the top, then there's Hitman A, who's Josh, and then he handed it over to Benson and Thompson, Hitman B and C.
Right.
So it's like a pyramid scheme, if you will, of Hitman.
But there's only two assassinators.
Correct.
There's only two people, right?
Assassinators, yes.
There's only two people actually with weapons.
Right, but it's just there's an extra middleman in there that's not usually
Josh
there.
Josh Bay is the middleman because Chris somehow thinks he's going to keep his hands clean by only never talking to Benson and Thompson and only talking to Josh Bay, his drug dealer who he trusts.
So the police don't think they have enough to arrest Chris. They need Josh to flip. An article is run in the newspaper about how broke Chris is and how broke the auto shop is. And that makes Josh Bay, the middleman, realize he's not going to get paid for the hit job thing. So he's willing to make a deal now with the police. So Mankey's like, make sure the lesson learned, folks out there, is that you pay your hitmen. And then a shooting rainbow star appeared over his head. And it was like, the more you know. Josh tells the police that Chris asked him to have them killed for $60,000. Well, it seemed like Josh suggested $60,000 and then Chris agreed to the $60,000. And again, we're faced with this extreme fluctuation in the rates of hitmen. We've seen $10,000, we've seen $100,000, and now we've seen $60,000 for two people, which is $30,000 a person.
Again, we're varying wildly by state as well.
That's true. So they go to trial, and the mom is still very odd, and she talks about how when she sees Chris in the courtroom, she says, I just kept staring at him. He's just disgusting.
And the best thing is, Mank could not get on the same page with her.
No.
Because the minute she says, I was just staring at him, and he's like, oh, you're trying to catch his eye. He's trying to kind of roll with her, and she goes, no.
He's disgusting.
He's disgusting. I would not want to catch his eye. And you're like, well, then why are you staring? Mank could not catch a break. Nothing he suggested was in line with where Mickey's head was.
Maybe she's a genius. Maybe Mank and all of us are thinking on a certain plane. And then her plane of thinking is like just a few inches above ours.
She's the Mensa plane.
Yeah. Sure. And so we just can't connect.
I don't think so. But that it's cool. It's a good theory. We can go with that. Conniver.
So Josh, it turns out, had a business insurance policy with Chris since they own this business together. And it's for almost $1 million. So that's what Chris wanted, part of why he wanted to kill him.
So then my question is, do you want to get a life insurance policy with me?
For this podcast.
For this podcast.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do $3 million.
Okay. We'll see how it goes. We'll see who lives the talk
good
about
luck.
It. Best of luck to you.
May the best woman win.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
So Josh, he said, like, why does Olga have to die too? And Chris said it was because Joey may have had a will.
Man, he's
and then
cold.
So cold. And then obviously the new wife would interfere with him getting some of that money, maybe. Bear in mind, they had been married for less than a year. It's really
sad.
Yeah. Josh reveals that Chris has been setting up this whole thing, playing these mind games, basically laying this groundwork. It's so weird that he's so on drugs, but so smart. He had been saying for months now how Joey was gonna get himself hurt because of his steroid use and his dealing steroids out of the shop. Chris has been saying for months now, you know, Joey's selling drugs out of the shop. He's gonna get himself hurt one of these days. If something happens to him, it's going to be those drug guys, you know, like laying the pipe.
But was he really dealing steroids out of the shop? Do we have Billy's word on that, or do we only
I think we have, we know for sure that Billy saw him in the bathroom doing the steroids.
But did Billy see him selling out of the back room?
That I'm not
that
sure
just
if
from
he was,
Chris?
I don't know if he was actually doing that. It would make sense, though, because Joey and Olga were going out to tons of fancy dinners and spending a ton of money.
And the older brother said that all of a sudden they were spending tons of money. You're right.
And they said that not only was Joey not stealing from the auto shop, he wasn't taking his full half cut. And he and Olga were sometimes not getting their salaries. So they were getting money from somewhere.
Yeah.
And that kind of makes me think he was selling the drugs out of the shop.
Okay.
This was my OMG moment. What besides Mickey is just a whole OMG moment is that Chris had Josh do the robbery that Kelly was framed for. He was that smart that he got into their family beef.
Yeah.
And he saw this fight between Kelly and Joey over this ring, and he stoked the flames of it by having his hitman guy rob the house and take jewelry so that it would look like the sister did it. And that way, when he killed the sister, killed Joey a month later, the sister would get framed for it. That is, if I may say, diabolical.
The D word.
I mean,
it is diabolical. You're right. So my OMG moment is just when I glance over at my notes and this part that we're talking about.
Yeah.
So Josh Bay committed the robbery to frame Kelly, right? And my line on this is...
What is it? What is it?
It's Michael Bay done the burglary.
Michael Bay, the film director?
Michael Bay done the burglary. But then also, I capitalized Michael and put a period at the end of burglary. So that was an actual sentence that I wrote.
Several times in my notes thought of Michael Bay instead of Josh Bay, because that's the only Bay I've ever heard of. So it's like a setup from a Michael Bay movie.
Did he done do it?
Except without Transformers, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
So Chris is found guilty, thank goodness. And he gets 2 life sentences. And in his courtroom apology, he says this weird speech about how he wants to be an example for people who are using drugs. And sorry. Just sorry. Yeah. So the mom, Mickey, still has Joey's ashes at the house. And Manx takes the moment at the end of the episode. I feel like he's spent several days with these people. He wants to impart some wisdom upon these people. He thinks he can get them to repair their family and make some change, but he's forgetting who he's talking to. So he tells Mom, are you going to patch things up with Kelly? And she says, we're fine. We'll be fine. We're going to push our feelings down and go on with things. And we'll just, it'll work out. It is what it is. What? Like, it makes no sense. And then he says, you know what? Don't steal anything else. That's his final wisdom to Mickey. And she says, well, I never did before, but I did it. Yep. Yeah. I'm not sorry for it. What is, I can't, what? That is literally what she says. She's defiant until the end.
To the
end. You know why? You know why? Because Joey needed it. Because Kelly didn't need it, and Joey needed
it. But that's also the last sentence, because Joey needed it. That's the last sentence we hear from Mickey. And, like, Dateline lets it get uncomfortable, because it's kind of uncomfortable. I was shifting in my seat.
She's so defiant, right? And will never admit any fault to the part that this played in her son's death.
Right.
And this rift between this family.
And that the brother and sister were not speaking when he died.
Yes.
She will never get, the closure that she gets is zero.
Yes.
Because they were not speaking, and their last words to each other, I'm sure, were something horrible.
Absolutely. And, you know, Kelly seems to get it. Kelly is crying, and she says, I've learned, tell people that you love them, make peace with them while you have them in your life, because you never know what's going to happen. She gets it. Now, her mom still seems to be pissed with Kelly. She doesn't seem to get it. God forbid something happens to one of them, they're going to still be fighting. And poor John, he got brainwashed and he thought Kelly did the murder too. So they probably have a rift, because her older brother thought she murdered the younger brother. The whole family is all whacked, because how would you feel if you were the sister and the family actually considered that you might have done this?
Right,
murdered
exactly.
Your brother.
Yeah, you'd lose your mind.
And you were fighting with your brother at the time of his death. Like, that's bad enough.
Right.
But then people in your family kind of maybe think, later on, Mickey goes, no, I never thought she would do it. No, they were fighting, but she would never hurt him. But I don't really believe that.
No, because
I kind of think she really did think Kelly did it.
There's a couple of points in there that they said, the prosecutor comes on and keeps and says, we were getting a lot of tips that it was Kelly. And
the family.
You know it was Mickey. And Mank asks Mickey, he says, did you call in? No. She does it in this kind of way that's like, maybe, but she says no. She goes, no, I never did that. It's like she convinces herself in the moment that she didn't call the police and try to turn in her daughter for Joey's murder.
I think kind of, okay, so A, she's, I think, clearly on prescription medication. B, she's so massively obsessed with her son, and the thought that her actions may have had some part in his death is like too much for her to bear.
Right, she can't.
So she's in full on denial. So now whenever anyone asks her about the ring, she just goes, I'm not sorry I did it. Yeah, I did it. I'd do it again. When you just, instead of acceding to your mistakes, you just go balls to the wall and just go, no, I did it and I'm proud of it. It's crazy behavior.
It's crazy but, behavior.
She was delightful to watch though.
Yeah, she
truly.
Was.
I could have had her on several episodes this season.
Oh, yeah.
I think we need her as a correspondent. I think you're right.
Thanks for listening, everybody.